Today's daf in Masechet Shviit Yerushalmi, brought to you from Yerushalayim Yir HaKodesh, is daf Chof Beis. We're holding the bottom of Chof Aleph Amud Beis, and what we've been talking about is illustrated by Baruch Avram today. What happened to the cows and the deer, Baruch Avram? Hello? That's what happens. Look at this.
Still there. Hold on.
So what we've been talking about is medayarin. Now, medayarin means that you allow your livestock to be sitting in an enclosure that's on top of a field, and livestock is very, very powerful fertilizing machines that manage to do this all on their own, and that would mean that you're causing the fertilization of the field. So the question was during Shviyas, how much of the diur was mutter. So we had a machlokas in the Mishnah. The Mishnah started off according to the Tanakhama, who says, well, you can make a diur at each point that would be 5,000 square amas, two beit sa'a. Then you can move the three mechitzas over to the other side and have the equivalent, which doesn't look like you're really being a no-goodnik moving your diur from place to place and therefore intending to be mizabel. So then you actually get a total of four, because you had the original two, and by simply keeping one wall and just moving the other wall to the other side, you get four. Reb Shimon Gamliel said, no, you can actually get eight. So as it explains in the Braisa, the point is that Reb Shimon ben Elazar is saying, instead of needing to maintain the entire wall to make it look like this is just an extension of the original mechitza, meaning the original deer that I had, because here it's the same wall I had before, I'm just moving around the other walls, you can actually pivot around a point. And pivoting is just as good as a whole wall. So therefore, what basically you're doing is, imratza, look, I mean, in metaphorical terms, you put a yated, you put a peg into the ground right at the point of the end of your wall that you want it to be the middle pivot point, right? And then around that point, instead of needing to maintain the entire mechitza, you're moving the whole thing around that pivot, which means that you can actually have four different beit sa'as, which osa arba saharin be arba ruchotel, which equals four times two apiece, which would mean a total of shmonis sa'im, according to Reb Shimon ben Elazar, and that is how we would understand Reb Shimon ben Gamliel. Now, today's daf moves on with an additional question. As we've been talking about Shviyas, and we've been talking about the question of the Maris Ayin, we found the Machlokas in terms of whether can you originally intend to do this? Is there a concept of Psik Reisha on Melachos of Shviyas? Is there actually, since the whole thing is only the Rabbanan, because it's only a Tolda of Harisha or of Zriya, that is a machlokas, but the bottom line is that it would even be mutter, according to the Rambam, to have in mind that you want to be medayar. We had the machlokas about how to read the Mishnah. The Mishnah at the end that says you can't do your whole field, and does it mean, but you can remove the fertilizer from the area that was fertilized and utilize the standard rules of fertilizing, three piles per beit sa'a? Or does it mean you're mechuyev to get it out of there, because otherwise it looks as if you set it out in the beginning to be mezavel? Remember, according to the Rambam, we don't mind if you set out to be mezavel, and therefore what it's saying, in addition, you could also move it out. Not you have to move it out, as long as you stick to the rules of the shalosh in a beit sa'a, then the machlokas about whether you need to have asara letachin in each one, or you could get away with three letachim, alibed the Rebbe Shimon, and so on. Now, the question is, how exactly does all of this discussion about Zibul on Shemitah, how does that relate to the Dinim? Because remember, our Mishnah in Moed Katan, which is what we wanted to initially try to link this up to yesterday, it talks about the way that these malachas, many of these malachas, are similar in terms of Moed Katan, that is to say, Chol HaMoed, and Shemitah. So even though there's obvious differences, because there's a difference in the meaning of them, So we'd like to know, how does this din of medayirin? That word medayirin means you have your animals sitting in these pens. Would you be allowed to put animals in a pen on Shabbos or Yom Tov or Chol HaMoed? So you're not allowed to do that. Again, because even though it's not a true malacha, the animal is doing the malacha, and you're not doing it via dayim, but the Rabbanan asked it because it is similar to actually being mizaba. And therefore, you're not allowed to do this, not on Shabbos, not on Yom Tov, not on Chol HaMoed. And as a matter of fact, you wouldn't be able to tell an Akum to do it. I feel a bit tova. Even if the guy just is going to do it for you as a favor. It has nothing to do with the question of whether you're paying him. It has to do whether he is responding to your tzivui as Amir la'akum. Well, Chazal asered the Amir la'akum as well. But what's interesting is that im bo me'alem, now the Gra takes out the Enem Rishoy La'ashim Shomer because it doesn't belong here, it belongs later, as we'll see. So, im bo me'alem. These people come, and they basically have a business, and their business is that they set up their animals, keep them, deal with them in your field, and you end up getting a fertilized field. So suppose they show up, you know, you didn't arrange them that they should come. So if they came all on their own, you know, the question is, there was no Amir La'akum, you don't have to throw them out, and it's fine. But in Messiah, you know, you're not allowed to do things for them, such as maybe in Rosh Hashanah Shomer, here again with the Gros Gear, so we have that part that does belong here, V'lola Na'era Tatzon. So, like, what you would want to do is once these people have set up your field for automatic fertilization by these fertilizing machines, there's ways to get those machines to do a better job, which is you walk them around, you know? When you walk them around, that tends to loosen their bowels, and that gets you better fertilizing across your field. And, of course, you don't want them wandering around in places where they're not meant to be, so you're going to have somebody sit there and make sure that they don't wander around and run. That's called being a shomer, being mershiv a shomer. You're not allowed to do that, because there it looks like you arranged for the whole thing. But you're allowed to let them do their own business in the field on Shabbos. Now, it's actually even mutter to help under certain circumstances. And that is called, as I'm sure you're all aware, kablanut. Kablanut means that if somebody is basically setting up his own schedules for the work that you are paying him to achieve, and not by the hour of the work. So let's say you contract with a fertilizing company. Everybody contracts with fertilizing companies, by the way, literally, in terms of lawnmower care for your front lawn. Part of caring for your front lawn is to fertilize the grass. That's all a very common kind of thing. So it was common in those days to contract with a company or with an individual who's going to make sure that your fields are properly tended and that they are fertilized. Now, you're going to make up a deal with them as to when it's supposed to be done. You just said, listen, you know, I'm paying you by the month, I'm paying you by the year, I want to make sure that the field is taken care of. Now, when he takes care of the field, that's his business, it's not your business. And in that case, for all intents and purposes, that goy is working for himself, he's not working for you. He took money to get the job done. Now, when he wants to do the job is his problem. So therefore, ima yo simimo b'shabbatot v'yamim tovim, which is a strange way of responding to, of defining this thing. And the Gra actually changes it to the way that we always use the term in the Bavli, namely, Hayat Schir Shabbat, Schir Chodesh, Schir Shanat, Schir Shavua. You pay him by the 7 years, you pay him by the year, whatever. So that's the way that it's usually referred to. Here it's like a little bit different kind of language, which is not all that standard, not even in the Yerushalmi. Okay, but in any event, we understand the idea. The idea is Kablanut. Sugu Rashai Lo Shiv Shomer. In that case, you're like, it's like you would be putting the shomer there for the goy's benefit. You would even be allowed to walk the tzon around to get them to be more efficient fertilizer machines. And again, he takes out the growing bo me'alehem, because that is not where it belongs. Misayinotam, you can even help them, therefore, in walking them around. Okay. Now, in the Braita, we said that, we just said that if you have these goyim that are doing their business, and they come and they intend to charge you for the work that they're doing, and they just come and they're going to give you a sample of the great job that they do, you know. So Rabbi Shimon Gamliel omer that you can actually pay in certain circumstances, ex post facto, of course. You didn't order the work. So b'Shabbat, medayrin b'tova. You cannot arrange payment on Shabbat, because over there, we answered it much more chumra, and it looks like you told him that you're going to pay. So they have to know that if they do work on Shabbat, they're not necessarily going to get paid. B'yom tov, well, you can give them meals, but you can't pay them. For Chol HaMoed, you could even pay them if they came at their own. In the Braita, it says, there's another general halacha, because there's a different way that this is accomplished. Different way is you go to a rent a fertilizer machine and you rent a bunch of tzon and you put them in your property. You don't own tzon, but it's a great way to get fertilizing done. So you go to a rental company. So you rented the sheep. Now, how do you have to act with those sheep? So in the same way, with a rental car, you certainly are not allowed to use the car in ways that would be damaging to the car. What's more important, very often when you rent a vehicle, the rental company insists that you return the vehicle with fuel in the tank. Otherwise, they bill you this ridiculous amounts to refuel, right? So everybody goes to the gas station before they return. Well, we're talking about a different kind of gas over here. But if you got that gas all removed from your fertilizing machine, then when you return it, the tank is empty. So are you allowed to do that? That's a different issue. And the halacha is that if you rented a fertilizing machine, often called a sheep, then you're not allowed to be mina'er it. Now, mina'er, as I pointed out, is manure. It's the same word as manure in English. In this case, it means lina'er, is to walk it around to get it to generate more manure. So if that were done, when you return your rental machine, it's going to have an empty tank. And that means you're damaging. You didn't have rights to do that. So you can't do that. What do we mean, by the way? I mean, how do you turn a sheep into manure? No, it means molicha mimakom lemakom. You get it to keep moving around. If it keeps moving around, then that loosens its bowels, and then it's going to defecate all over the place. And that means you're getting extra work out of this sheep, which you didn't really pay for. It wasn't included in the price. But of course, this is only when you rented it by the day. I mean, so over there, when you return it at the end of the day, you got to return it with a full tank. I mean, not a full tank, but at least a normal amount of zevel in its tank. So I don't remember b'shesachra l'zman muat. Aval b'shesachra l'man meruba. I mean, look, the rental company doesn't care if you, for the next 2 weeks that you're paying for the rental, if you move it around. As long as by the point that you return it with the tank full to the extent that it was before. That's all they care about. So if you're going to keep it for a long time, you can do whatever you want. It's just the last day when you're going to return the machine, then you have to give it back with a full tank. And then, Yom Acharon, Asur. By the way, I mean, talking about manure. Well, humans have problems with their manure manufacturing also. Sometimes you get constipation. Once we're on the topic of how to avoid constipated sheep when you rent them, we might as well tell you how to avoid constipated people. So Rav Huna B'Shem Rav Nachum Bar Yaakov says, but this means, it's got implications for human, because guy is trying to go to the bathroom, and he's unable to move his bowels. Well, you see from here, take a little walk around, that will loosen the bowels. Good idea. Ravuna B'Shem Mar Ukvat says, well, you know, once we're talking about medical issues, I must point out to you that there's a plant, this is what most says, machlok is what exactly is chafrit, let's assume it's kind of plant. That plant, ikar tav l'ma'aye, it's if you eat the roots of the chafrita, that's also very good for constipation. All right, the last thing that we learned was that the Mishnah says that you are mechuyev to actually Smacholkes, remember, according to Rashi Shant, according to the Rambam, you're allowed to, I'm mechuyev to. So according to the Rash, the Pirish is, you are mechuyev to move the dung out of the field after the animals get out of there, because otherwise it becomes in everybody's mind that you actually went ahead and you fertilized the field. But let me ask you, says, according to this, Rabbi Chiya Bar Abba, let me ask you, I mean, it says you got to move it out. So when you got to move it out, do you move it out even though normally you wouldn't be allowed to move it? Let's say it's before the time that the people work in the fields. We said you're not allowed to move fertilizer into a field if there's still people that would be doing that and working the fields to fertilize it. So would you still be mutter? Is the Mishnah telling you, this is the way the Rash learns it, and it's very mashma like that, that if we're telling you, you got to move it out, are we telling you to move it out even where you would be in violation of the general rule of how it is that you're allowed to put fertilizer out in the field, because we're more concerned with the area of the diured field, which is already fertilized, so it looks bad, so it's better to bring it out now in piles, even if it's still the time that people are working, or is it actually only telling you to do this when it fits the rules? That question we don't have an answer to here in the sugya, and remember, according to the Rambam, the entire thing is totally different. According to the Rambam, the point is, once you've already done this in a way that was mutter, you would be allowed to move it out to the edges that weren't covered by the diur, because remember, you were limited either by the 4 or 8 sa'in, or you were limited by the fact that your field would have been totally done and you had to pull back from the edges, like we said, not allowed to do the whole thing. So according to the Rambam, the question would be whether once we have that area where we matir even at the time that people are doing Aveda, because obviously this part had been fertilized in a way that was mutter, that would be the question. And that brings us to our next Halakha Mishnah, which is Halakha Dalet in Perek Gimel. So now we've been talking about the categories of things that are essentially Asur min Rabbanan, told us of Harisha, told us of Zriya, and we spoke about, the most recently, we spoke about the halacha of the diur. We talked about before that, we talked about the issue of zibul. We talked about the question of putting in irrigation ditches into the field and what the halacha would be legabe that. And the same thing is true about another issue that is very similar to Harisha. And the truth is, we even touched on it earlier when we were talking about, we quoted the removal of the thorns, nitkavta. Remember, we talked about what the din is that you're allowed to use the cleaned out field. If you removed all the thorns from the field, we said that you're allowed to be able to do that. But now we're talking about another issue. The other issue is removing stones. So that's sikul. Now, normally, sikul, of course, is really like harisha. I mean, you're making the land that had these rocks in it and that you weren't able to really plant properly, and you're going to make it plantable. I mean, that is like, wow, that's like real harisha. So the question is, what if you want to do construction? I mean, I have no interest in doing any kind of harisha at all. I need stones. And basically, I would like to quarry those stones from this area, which is also my field. Now, the question is, there's big machlokas, the most fundamental machlokas, and how to understand the Mishnah, is, does this mean that you really do have a quarry in your field? Or does it mean that under the topsoil, which can be planted, you have a lot of very valuable quarryable stone? So are we talking about doing that initial digging in which it looks like you're doing work in the field? Or are we talking simply about the very fact that you're quarrying? So we'll see that there's two different ways of reading the Mishnah. Here, clearly, the person's intent is he wants to do a construction project. So, and there's no issur of doing construction projects in Shmias, that's for sure. So how can he avoid the work that he's doing, looking as if he's being mitaken his sada. So says, I'm speaking for Richie now, who unfortunately is not with us, but the Halakha Mishnah says, Lo yivtach adam machzev batchila letoch sadeo. A person, now the simple way of reading it, which you must admit is a little strange, would be, there's no discussion of digging out your field. And the question is that you have an area which is not a usable agricultural field. You basically have an area in your field which is solid stone. Right? You want to start quarrying that stone during Shemitah. And you did not do any quarrying before Shemitah to indicate that this is a stone quarry rather than a field. So then, you should not start. That's what it is, batchila. Don't start a quarry unless the stone that you're quarrying is so big that nobody would mistake your work as an attempt to remove a small stone in order to be able to turn the field into being more agriculturally useful. So how big is that? Achiehebo sholosh murbiot. Shein shalosh al shalosh al rum shalosh. You need to have a quarry that is so big that it's the equivalent of three rows of quarried stones, which are normally a cube of one amma, so one amma cube stones. Each one of them would be shalosh al shalosh, which means that you have nine of these cubes on each row, and you have three of those rows, which means, in total, we're talking about Esrim v'sheva avanim. So 3 times 9, 27 avanim is what you would need to have. This is the way the Rambam understands the Mishnah. Paskens la'alocha, it means exactly what it says, typical cubed stones. And these are like the equivalent of what we have today, these blocks, used blocks that we make as cinder blocks. It's about the same size even. So these are the standard building materials, one by one amma. So if you've got enough there in that quarry to be able to get that amount out of it, that's a significant, I mean, you're not going to be doing that. That's a lot of work. You're going to be doing that because you want the stone and not because it's an act of harisha. But if you don't have that amount, then you can't start doing it on Shvias because people will look at it and say, oh my gosh, this guy's trying to get his field ready for planting, which of course is awesome. Okay, so this is clearly the way a naive person would read the Mishnah, and indeed some of the Mefarshei Mishnah explain it like this. Now, the thing is that the Rash explains that no, the point over here is he's got a field. That's how the Mishnah begins. He's got a field. Well, a field is not a quarry. So what we're talking about over here is turning the field into a quarry, right? So what's basically the situation here is that you have topsoil, and underneath that soil, there are very valuable solid stones that you could quarry. So the idea of being lo yiftach b'tchila b'shvias means to dig out the topsoil, where you're actually, I mean, there really looks like you're working the field, right? And now you want to dig it out to a point where now people will be able to see you have a stone quarry over there. But since it looks like you're plowing the field, you're hoeing away at the field, and people will immediately think, ah, so you're planning to do Zriah during Shvias and so on. So if this was open before Shvias, fine. But if not, you cannot start doing it unless the area that you uncover is so great that you would have these shalosh, shalosh, again, assuming each one is one amma by another amma. And that's the way, as I mentioned, that's the way the Rambam paskens. Some of these other Rishayim that we're talking about over here, including the Rosh Mishans, understands that the standard stone was 3 ammas by one by one. And therefore, according to him, the 27 is just one of the rows if you would reduce it to cubic ammas. Okay. The Pashtus of the Mishnah, of course, strikes us as being very understandable according to the Rambam. Now, there may be another situation. Suppose you have a stone wall around your field, and now you want to take that wall apart, and you want to use the stones to build a garage. So now, the problem is that, on the one hand, if you take down that wall, you're increasing the open land area that is available for planting. So again, people might think, so the guy's expanding his field, is he? On Shvius, not bum, and so on. Because they're always ready to find what you're doing wrong. So now the question is, at what point would you be allowed to dismantle your wall for purposes of construction and not need to be worried about people saying that you actually want to broaden the field? So if the gader yesh bo esra avanim shom asroi shnayim shnayim. So what you have over here is you've got a serious wall. And this wall is made out of building stones that take two people to lift each one of those stones. So then, hare elu yinatelu, you're allowed to move all of the stones, even if they're smaller stones, but you've got these large stones there, because then basically you have a chush of a wall, and we understand that you're not taking down a chush of a wall for purposes of adding another 2 feet to your field, and that these materials that you're taking from that chush of a wall are so valuable, you're not going to throw them out. You obviously are doing a new construction project. That's the point. And that wall would have to be a real wall, meaning it's at least 10 tefachim high, so it's about a meter high, right? And if it's less than that, if it's not a tall wall, or it doesn't have these serious stones in it that are only liftable by two people, so then what you could do is you could start cutting out the stones. Yes, you could be mechatzev and be gomeim. You can't take down the whole wall. So if you take down the whole wall, then people will say, well, that wall wasn't worth much anyway. The guy probably wants to extend his field. So what you can do is you can cut out stones from the wall, and you can be gomeim, means make it smooth, but only up to one tefach from the ground. So you could do it only at pachot mi'aretz tefach. You'd have to leave that last tefach there so that you're not machshir the area for planting, and then it would not be a problem. Some learn that it doesn't mean michatsev as the verb, but rather it is a machsev. I don't know why you would want to learn it that way, that it's a machsev to the tefach, but anyway, whatever. So in this case, you could do this, but where do we say that you're limited in how much you can take out and you have to stop when you get within a tefach of the ground? That's only where you own the field. But if you're in somebody else's field who gave you permission to take his wall down and use it for your own construction project, so then this doesn't apply. Nobody's going to think that you're in the other guy's field taking down his wall because you're doing him a favor. They understand that you were given permission to take the stones. And there, mashurotze, anything that you want, you would be allowed to take, because nobody is going to be choshed to you. Bameh devarim amurim. When do we say that you're not allowed to take in your own field, and you need to be gomeim ad lepoches mi tefach? That's only if you didn't start on the construction project erev shvias. So that's what we said, bitchila. So that's bisman shelo itchilito. You didn't start taking now at all, unless other than in shvias. But you didn't start to be noitel me erev shvias. But if you did me erev shvias, so you began being noitel avonim, then you can take whatever you want during shvias itself, and then we don't have limitations to be gomeim. You could be gomeim as much as you want. Okay, that's basically the way the Rambam learns the Mishnah. We followed the Mishnah where there were really significant differences I told you about. Now, how exactly, hey Chavita, how do you get 27 stones? Well, I mean, it's a little bit of simple arithmetic, do some multiplication. If you got three rows and each one of them is 3 by 3 and each one of these building blocks are a cubic amma, so you've got 3 times 3 is 9, and then you've got 9 times 3 in each murbiyot, so tisha zimnin tlat is esrim v'sheva. It's simple arithmetic. As I said, it may be simple to us, but it's a big machlokas about whether it means 27 in each murbiyah or not, but we went according to the Rambam. Tani, in the Braiset, makes clear that in the event that you have a machsev shebeinol levin chavero, suppose you have a situation in which this stone or this fence extends between you and the guy next door, and that guy started working on his end of it to cut it out before Shvias, so then it's mutter to open once the other guy opened it, so then it's mutter because then it's clear, well, obviously these guys, I mean, even though you didn't start, I mean, it's clear that the neighbors here are working on a construction site. So everybody has in mind that what we're talking about over here is a quarry, and that would allow even the neighbor who's got the other side of the stone or the other side of the fence in his own rishus, so then they'll just automatically assume that you're doing the same thing. So then it would be mutter. But if the guy next door totally finished his area before Shvias came around, so people weren't even thinking about it in those terms, and then now it's Reka, there's no stone left, then it would be usher for the neighbor to go and to start during Shvias because it's not obvious that this is a stone quarry. Now people got back to thinking that it's your field. Okay, gentlemen, that brings us to the end of Chaf Beis, Baruch Hashem, and Bezrat Hashem. We're zocher to meet tomorrow to continue these exciting subcategories of Harisha or Zriya that Otzer min Rabbanan and where we're Chayish for Maris Ayin or possibly for Psik Reisha, as we spoke about according to the Tosfos, and all types of other exciting things to come. Bezrat Hashem, B'sha'a, Geula Shlema, Kol Tov, everyone.